let's talk a little bit about the parsha today, as we usually do. Today's portion is the portion of Akev. And Janice actually just mentioned, you know, we have some very important parsha in this week. And also last week, we have a very similar, and let's talk a little bit about, we have the two portions of the Shema. We read one, the first portion of Shema Yisrael, we read in the parsha of Eschanon, we read that last week. And this week, we read the parsha of V'hoyayim Shamoah, the second parsha of the Shema. Now, if you look at the parsha, and we say it twice every day at least, or we say it three times before we go to bed, and then perhaps more in the morning blessing beforehand, you know, in the early and before the davening. So we keep on saying these verses, right? At least twice a day from the Torah. And yet, there is a difference between them. The difference. So, you know, we need to know. I mean, why is it repeated? What's the difference between the first and the second one? So we have one and two. We have the first portion, the second portion. Why is there two portions? And is there a difference between them? We'll talk a little bit about that. The portion of Shema. Also, then we have, interesting, the verse Va'eschanon, which is last week's parsha, says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I beseech Hashem, right? You have begun to show your servant, you're great. What is he asking for? He's saying, Ere. He says, let me see the land. He was begging Hashem. So we talk about here, the idea of vision, of seeing. He wanted to see. He wanted to see it with his own eyes. He wanted to see the land. That's what he wanted. That's what we discuss in the portion of Eschanon. In this week's portion, where it begins, Zartan? It says, V'hoyo Akev Tishmon. It talks about Shmi. It talks about hearing. What is this? The two senses we have. One of them is to see something. One of them is to hear something. We'll see that there is a difference between the two parshas, the seeing and the hearing. The other thing is that the two haftorahs, huh?
In Ten Commandments, it says a divos in
there. Yeah, the last one, the Ten Commandments. Yeah. The other thing is that we also have the two haftorahs. Talked a little bit about it last week, but these are called the 7 weeks of comfort. Now, the first week we read the comfort. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yomar Elokechem. Your God will say, comfort, comfort my people. Okay? Now, who is saying this to the Jewish people? Nachamu, Nachamu. Yeah, so the prophet is saying it to the Jewish people. The prophet is saying it. Hashem is saying, Nachamu, Nachamu, that you should be comforted. But it's not Hashem is saying it himself. He is saying it via the prophet. The prophet is saying, God is saying you should be comforted, but the one who's actually saying it is the prophet. So that's why in this week's Haftorah, the second one, that's for the portion of Akev. Over here, the prophecy begins, Vatomer Tzion, Azavani Hashem, Vashem Shechoni. That Zion says, Jerusalem, Zion says, well, Hashem has neglected me, God has forgotten me, forsaken me. Why? Because they're complaining, why is God sending the comfort through agents, not himself? He's sending the prophets to comfort us. So our response basically to God saying through the prophet, be comforted, we say no. We say, God, you have forsaken us, because why are you sending prophets and why are you not comforted yourself? And this, so next week, we're actually going to study the third Haftorah. Is Hashem begins with the word, begins with Anoichi, Anoichi, Umanachemchem. I am the one that's comforting you, which means that God listens. He says, I will actually give you the comfort. So we'll see how to tie this in also. The Rebbe ties it in the Sikha that we're going to discuss today. The Rebbe ties all these things in. But first, let's talk a little bit about the difference of the power of seeing versus the power of hearing. Usually the assumption is that the power of seeing is a stronger power. It has a greater impact on the person. Something that you see is very clear and very certain by the person. There's no question. So let's say you see something. even something which is astounding, something supernatural, but you see it. So nobody can challenge that. Nobody can question it because you've seen it. And if I've seen it with my own eyes, so you may have problems or questions, you know, how could it possibly be? But you see, you know, you see a plane, you see a piece of metal, you know, flying in the air, you know, who would believe that? You know, but you see it, so you know that it's true because you see it. And even if you don't understand how you can do it, you don't understand, but you've seen it. So seeing, if you hear about something, it's not so certain. It's not so, because if somebody tells you about something and you listen to something, somebody can come and question you later on. So if you heard something and say, well, maybe it's not true. Maybe what you heard wasn't true. You didn't see it. You just heard about it. Hearing about it is not as strong as seeing something. So usually, a lot of times, we talk about seeing as seeing as coming with certainty, and it convinces you stronger. But on the other hand, there is an advantage to actually hearing over seeing. There is an advantage when you see something. And let's talk about, for example, the first parsha of Eschanan, which talks about Moshe Rabbeinu. Now Moshe Rabbeinu was on a very high level. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Oh, I'm beseeching Hashem. I want to see." That talks about seeing. About seeing. Moshe Rabbeinu, on his level, he was very, very close to Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu can see things because the rest of us, Jews in general, as a whole, we cannot see fully. We cannot see fully because we have our limitations. To us, the world that we see is here, that we know. Hashem, we have to sort of study about it. We have to sort of convince ourselves. We have to sort of learn about it. We have to bring it down. So we don't see Hashem. That's something which is beyond, in a way, from our ability. In a way, when God shows you something, let's say, God gives you an ability that you see something, even though you see it, it's very obvious, but it's something that comes from above. It comes as a gift. God gives you a gift. Like we're saying, Va'eschanan, he says, Rashi says, give me a free gift. This was a gift that he says, give me the gift to see. This is a gift that comes from above. It's something which is thrown on you. Now, by a person, we also have various different parts to our soul. We have this part of the soul which comes down into the body, and we have the higher part of our soul. We have the soul that doesn't really, which is still remains above, which is connected. It's one soul, but it has different parts to it. There is vision. The higher level of the soul can maybe see that. The lower level of the soul can't see. When the higher level of the soul sees certain things, it sort of brings it down to the lower level of the soul, to the level over here. But yet, it's something which is as a gift. You know, and that's why you find a lot of times that people will all of a sudden, you know, have an inspiration, a lift up or something. It's not something that they work. It's like a gift from Hashem to see, but it's still limited how much the person can really be impacted in an inner way. On the other hand, that is when you see something. So when you see something, even though you're convinced, but the thing that you're seeing is still from a distance, it's not come to you, it didn't enter you. You are seeing something outside of you. But when you hear something, that goes actually in, the voice goes in through your ears, it goes into your neshama. If you hear a beautiful song, you hear a beautiful nigun or an orchestra or something you love, it actually goes all the way through. It can touch your soul in a very, very, it becomes part of you. Tishmeun, in the Parsha over here, so it's Ekev. Ekev means the heel. In the human body, the Ekev, the heel, as Rashi says, simply it means the heel that steps in the mitzvahs. The heel is the part of the body which is not openly have a lot of vitality. It's very limited because all the organs, the important organs and life force are all in the upper parts of the body. The heel represents like the lowest level in which there's very little. You can step on it, you can... That's a pretty good remark, because actually what we're going to see, it doesn't contradict what we're speaking about now, on the contrary. When we talk about the heel, we're talking about a situation when there isn't so much light out there. In other words, it's the time of the heel, Sadev. So like in the world, it's a lacking. We don't see so much energy. And still, the Torah says, Ekev Tishmon, we listen and we keep the mitzvahs and we do them, notwithstanding. It is the opposite from the previous parsha in which there is light. Ere, let me see. Here, let me hear, which means it's not as convincing, but it is something which goes into the person, and the person actually experiences it. It becomes part of him, and therefore it also creates that sense of stability and continuation, and it actually brings down eventually a higher level because you worked at it. It wasn't a gift that came from above, but it was something that you worked at. You worked hard, then you earn that, you get on a higher level. So when in the first parsha, Hashem says, he says, you know?
No, I'm listening.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, the first parsha.
In the first Haftorah, or in the first parsha, we talk about revelation. We talk about a time when there is seeing, when there is vision, there is open. We're asking to see. It's a free gift. It's a impressive, very strong, but it's limited to the revelation. It's limited to our capacity to a little bit see it, but it's mainly impacts the surrounding powers, the upper levels. It doesn't really connect with us in an inner, in a personal way, in a very deep, strong fusion way. But when it comes through the level of hearing, which means that we work it through and we do it, and then we also have consistency. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that people who grew up with radio, our parents' generation, said that it was better, they could imagine things. But on TV, it takes away all your imagination, and you just, whatever, it's multi-sensory, so you hear and you see. But they had different, Fibber McGee and Molly, they had different be able to see them, and they had to use their imaginations.
Same thing with reading versus seeing the movie.
Exactly.
You visualize the characters in your mind from the description.
It's such a richer experience, which I think ties in with what you're saying.
Yeah, but what were you going to say?
I'm listening.
Bobby.
Let's take a look at some very, very interesting differences. I mean, if we had a sitter here, but you probably know a little bit. Let's say about the Shema. The differences between the first and the second portion of Shema. Based on these idea that the portion of Eschanon is talking about vision, is talking about revelation, and the portion of Eschanon is talking about, Ekev is talking about Shmiya, hearing, it's talking about a person working through the things and achieving it through their level of listening and using their imagination and working it through, we can understand some of the differences between the parsha. As for example, one very obvious difference between the first portion and the second portion is, the first portion it says, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, what it follows, V'chol levavcha, U'v'chol nafshecha, what does it say after that?
U'v'chol me'odecha.
U'v'chol me'odecha, so there's three things. V'chol levavcha, U'v'chol nafshecha, U'v'chol me'odecha. Now look at the parsha in V'hoyim Shemaya. Over there it says,
B'chol
levavchem. Over there it's in a plural though.
Good.
Sorry. Again, that's also another distinction. Over there it says, B'chol levavchem. ubechol nafshechem. But there is no bechol moedechem. That third, there's only two. Bechol levavchem, bechol nafshechem, no bechol moedechem. Why is that missing? And then the other thing is, what you're asking now, is you're saying, over here it's in a singular. It says, b'chol levavcha, u'b'chol nafshecha. Over there it's b'chol levavchem, u'b'chol nafshecha. So Rashi, the second point, Rashi says that the first portion is individual. Levavcha, b'chol nafshecha. The second one is the tzibur, is the community. But the Rebbe translates this very beautifully. The Rebbe says, in the first portion, it talks to the yachid, as the language Rashi talks to the individual, which means it talks to the level of your soul, which is yachid, the higher, the level, the soul which doesn't come down into the body is called yechida. That's like yachid. That is remains aloof. That remains surrounding. That is where the light of the first parsha, the portion of Eschanon, where it reaches is b'chol levavcha, in the yachid, in the special individual part of your neshama, which is unique above, but it doesn't go into the tzibur, which means the community, means all your powers. That talks about the 10 powers that you have. So, and that is also, in order to get b'chol moedecha, Chomedecha means basically totally mesiras nefesh, means self-sacrifice. If you work it through, you're still challenges. You're not. When it comes from above, as a gift from above, so then everything else falls away. You know, like it says, like Moshe Rabbeinu, like we say in the parsha. In the parsha, it says when we read the Oz Yashir, over there we say, all the people of Canaan, they were melted heart, melted away, and they were all afraid, petrified. The light that comes from above, from Moshe Rabbeinu, is so powerful, is so strong, that everything else falls apart, falls away. It says if Moshe Rabbeinu came into Israel, then there would not have to be all the fights and all the natural things that took place, it's 7 years to conquer and to fight it. They would all, like the pasuk says in the pasuk, they all melted away. That would be the power of Moshe Rabbeinu. That would be if it comes from above, with that light that comes from above. And that's why within the person himself, all obstacles fall away. There is nothing. But when you have to work it through, you can't create that level of b'chol ma'idcham. Then that's already something which is difficult, or it's not possible from the perspective of the person when you have to struggle through. You can't reach that higher level. That comes like sort of as a gift from above to get b'chol moedecha. So from the level of yechida, from the level of the higher level, from the level of yachid, like from the Shema over there, it comes. There's also a very another distinction in which when it comes from the person, as we said before, it stays in all situations. It's a lasting situation. And Rashi also explains that in the first parsha, when it says the other interesting thing is in the second parsha, we also talk about reward and we talk about punishment. In the first parsha, there's only commandments. There is no reward and punishment in the first parsha. In the second parsha, we read, if you stray away, then you will get lost. If you keep the mitzvahs, then why? Because in the second parsha, it really talks to the person themselves. If you're inspired by from above, from the light that comes from above, then you don't need any warnings, you don't need any rewards, and you don't need any punishment. Then you just do it because you're enlightened. Then you have the light. Then you see it, and you're just good to go. But when you struggle, when you have the Shemaya, when we talk about Ekev, over there we have to sort of encourage you. We have to give you a little bit more reason to go ahead and follow through. And there's another, there's various different, the Rebbe explains these various different points in which we find the difference between the first parsha and the second parsha. But the And the Rebbe says that is also because in the first parsha, it says when Hashem sends them through the prophet, the prophets are a revelation of Hashem. When Hashem sends us and He says, I'm going to redeem you. Generally, we have, I think we spoke about it a little last week, I'm not even sure from all the classes when we talked about it, but in general, the way it works, that Isarusa de Latata, we have work below, then we get from above. It's just like, it says it right in the Pasuk, you have a cloud comes up from below,
the moisture,
and then we get the rain down. So it comes from below. So this is the eight yalam min ha'aretz. It comes from the ground, and then the rain comes from above. So which means that basically everything is set up in a way that what we get from above comes first from below. And when it comes from below, we get from a higher level from above, even in a greater level. Sometimes things just come from above. Hashem sometimes gives us just like from above. We don't work for it, and it just rains without working for it. The Parshas Vaeschanan is almost like Hashem is giving it to us, but that is limited to the prophets. The prophets give us the nechama. But when we say, no, Hashem, we want you, yourself. In other words, that it comes, that we work through, and we say that we're not satisfied with everything that you're giving us. We want actually you yourself. If it comes from below, from our work, eventually we actually get a higher level. Not only the prophets, we get actually from Hashem Himself. That's why after the Haftorah of this week, when the Tzion says, Azavani Hashem, in neglectless, we actually get the response from Hashem, Anoicha, Anoicha, Menachemchem, Hashem gives you. So, yeah, go ahead.
If we didn't have the Meraglim incident, yes, and we just went into the land,
yes,
would that have been with the light from above? Would,
yes, yes, and that would have been, yeah. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu, yes, yes, exactly. As we said, Moshe Rabbeinu would have given us, but we would be missing out on working through things in ourselves. And when we had to fight for Israel, we had to, which is essentially what we're doing in the whole exile over here, is that we have to fight. And which is why we have a Yetzer Hara, which is why we have struggles, which is why we have battles, is because we have to work things through ourselves. And when we do work things through ourselves, that's we actually get a greater and a much stronger a revelation from Hashem. And that's why, as you can see, it's also more lasting. Another interesting verse is that in the first verse, it talks about Hashem, the instruction is to teach your students. Even though it says, Shinantum Levonecha. Levonecha means to your sons. But technically, as Rashi explains, it says sons, but it means your students. Your students are called sons. In the second parsha, when it says you should teach your sons, over there it actually means literally sons, as we see, so that your sons will increase. It doesn't talk about a student. So the first portion talks about students. The second portion talks about literally sons. Another thing is that, as mentioned earlier, that the first parsha is talking about the time that the people were almost like in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi says, why does the portion say again that you have to keep the mitzvahs and everything? It's because to tell you, even after you go into exile, because maybe you think that only in the first parsha, you can only think maybe while you're in Israel, everything is good. How do we know that you're supposed to do mitzvahs everywhere, even in exile? That's why this we learned from the second parsha. So it basically means, in the first parsha, it's a time when there is light. So if there is a time when there is light, but when there is no light, perhaps that's when you give up. When there is no light, you know, you don't see anything. So in the time when there was a Beis HaMikdash, there was light, you saw everything. Then we do mitzvahs, then we study the Torah. Actually, first it says, You study the Torah, and then you do the mitzvahs because it comes because of the way of light. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be encouraged when there's light. But what happens when there's no more light over there? So then, you know, if it's all based upon the gift of Hashem, is when we have the gift. But once we don't have the gift, we're not supposed to work at it. Sometimes, you know, you have, same thing is with children, with students. You know, if you give them everything, they don't have to work for anything. So then when they're not given anymore, they don't know what to do with themselves because they're only used to getting things from the outside. So therefore, it can stop, it can cease, it doesn't last through. That's why when we talk about teaching, we talk about teaching students. Because a student, if he's able to understand, he learns. So that means that he's already at a certain level. But what about a child? A child, your own child, you teach them as soon as they start to speak. And even before they know how to speak, when they start. That's why it says, Lidaber, to speak, it says in the Vahayim Shemaya. Because your own child, it doesn't make a difference. Because when you're working things through, you don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't have to see the light. You don't have to have any special qualities. Everybody works through their own way, on their own level. They work through. They do the Shemaya. They use their listening. They take and they keep the mitzvahs. They do it, but they struggle through it. And because they do it from themselves, it actually touches deeper in their essence. So therefore, their children, they don't have to be intellectually. Even their babies, you still start as soon as they start to speak. You don't have to be in Israel to do the mitzvahs. Everywhere you do the mitzvahs, because whether you're in exile, because it's not something which you are doing because you got it from somebody else. It's something because you are inspired by yourself, by your hard work. It's like the listening in which you do what you have to do. And that's why after the prophet starts off with the first Haftorah through the prophet, that he's comforting, we say, no, we want it more. In other words, we feel in our heart that we want more. So that's why we ask for Hashem that we're not satisfied. We want to work it through, or we have to work it through, because we don't actually have today the ability to see things. And as we said, the neshama, the chaya, yechida, our souls above see, but we don't have them. So we have that struggle. So we relate a lot to this time in our lives, in which we don't let our dark struggles deter us, put us down. We don't let them weaken our resolve. We work it through. And we find that actually, when we work it through, we actually get a lot more strength than we had when somebody just gave it to us. If we just got it, we had everything given to us, we weren't as strong. We weren't as powerful. We were a lot stronger, and we were a lot more able to connect when we had to work hard on it. So we don't want any difficulties. Everybody wants only easy time, and life is too short to waste on difficulties. We should and we should only have good and light. We should see only light, and only see Hashem, and only see goodness in everything in our lives. But if it does happen, it's important to know that we have the power and we have the ability. And amidst Hashem, you know, we will become even stronger from every time that we struggle. And that's the part of the problem.